Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, Issue 15. Today, Kane and I will be exploring the aftermath, I guess you could say, of the Avengers Endgame. So there still is some spoilers out there, folks, so be ready.
A quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
Welcome, everybody, once again to Heroes Asylum, the weekly podcast where we discuss everything from the events of Endgames to the ending of certain episodes that are out there in the beginning of New Worlds that we're getting ready to see. So welcome, everybody, once again. And I am here with my trusty companion. And I guess after I watch this movie today, I can go ahead and say my War Machine to my Iron Man. How you doing today, man?
I thought I was Iron Man.
Well, you could be.
Can I be Iron Man?
I guess you can be.
I don't want to be War Machine. He's crippled and stuff.
Yeah, but he's a badass. Okay, fine.
He was a badass in Endgame. That was probably the only movie he's actually been a badass in was Endgame. And Iron Man, too, if you actually remember.
Yeah, well, that's what I watched today. I was going through Hulu, and I was, like, just doing stuff around the house. I'm like, you know what? I just want to just something in the background. And I was just like, of course, I put it on, and 5 minutes later, I stopped doing whatever the heck I was doing. I just sat down.
You know, when I first saw Iron Man 2, like, the first time, do you remember the scene where he's in, I think they're in the Grand Prix in Italy or something. They're doing this kind of Formula One type of race, and Whiplash comes out, and he has his briefcase throughout the whole... I think Happy has the briefcase, and they're like ramming each other, and some kind of car accident is happening, and the briefcase actually changes into the suit. I thought that was one of the most dopest things I've seen in a long time. And I mean, now we flash forward, and now that really doesn't hold a candle to anything, which is kind of funny.
It's funny. That was the first movie I've seen since Endgames. I haven't watched any of the Marvel ones since Endgames, and I just
have you thought about watching them in chronological order?
I thought about it, and I just I said I'm home just doing stuff around the house, and I just put it on. But I think that's what drew me back into it was I know what happens to these people. I know what happens to the Pepper and Happy and Iron Man. It's like seeing basically what was in their infancy. Really, if you look at it, that's what this movie was. It was still very new. The introduction of Black Widow, it was also part of that.
Yeah, people don't remember that Black Widow was in Iron Man 2. That was her intro.
Yeah, the weird hair. I'm glad they let her not perm her hair anymore. That was throwing me off.
That was an odd choice, the perm hair. I mean, keep her with the red short hair that she had for Avengers.
I understand, fashion changes in the last decade, but no, I don't think it was a big thing then. No, that was more like a 90s.
That was a 90s thing. That was like a late circa 80s, circa 90s type of hairstyle.
But. So, folks, this is we really are just going to kind of run through the news this week because, there's so much. And, of course, we had last week off. We did drop you guys a Midnight Movie review, and I hope you guys enjoyed it and checked it out. Buckaroo Banzai.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun to do Buckaroo. But if you guys could always remember, check us, find us on the Facebook page. Go to our website, heroesasylum.com. You can get all that. Get subscribed so that way you don't miss any of our episodes. But yeah, we have a lot of history or news over the last week, so we're gonna go ahead and just tag team them basically together with and make this a full-on admission board episode. So what do you got up on your trusty clipboard there, brother?
First things I got for the trusty admissions board this week, by the way, thank you for coming to the admissions board. We always enjoy visitors coming in as we tag team on a clipboard. We got the first trailer for the Watchmen TV series on HBO. And it looks like they're not doing a recreation of the movie. They're just basically following the events of the actual Watchmen movie. It looks like a sequel set in modern times, which I found kind of interesting. The whole type of Rorschach type of, if you ever read Frank Miller, The Dark Knight Returns, the Sons of Batman, which it looks like you had the Sons of Rorschach there. With all those masks.
Yeah, so. I kind of got that feel with them too.
Looks a little different, but so what did you think?
I can't wait. I mean, I didn't know much about it because I was kind of staying away from it. I know I don't have HBO, so it was like one of those things that was going to be probably tough for me to catch. But when I did see that trailer, very reminiscent of that the Sons of Batman.
Yeah.
Very, I'd almost want to say it looks like it takes place like decades later.
I think it does because it's set more modern, like in our times. If you look at the, I mean, the aesthetic and the environment that it's in right now. I mean, just basically modern times. So, which is, you know, I didn't think they were going to go that way, but now they are. So
yeah, which I'm happy with because it's a smart way of keeping that world and keeping the things that happen in
keeping
that world
fresh too. Because I don't think anybody wants to go back to the Watchmen again.
You don't want to go back and redo what's been done. We've seen that already, and you don't want to go back and, you know, mess up what they've already laid the groundwork for. Just pick up and move forward and basically brushing yourself off and seeing what the world is like after the moments of Watchmen. I mean, hopefully we'll have, you know, I'm sure there'll be tons of teasers and, you know, little Easter eggs.
I think I'll be fascinated to see what the backstory is. I mean, because Rorschach is dead, I guess, in this world, I take it.
But yeah, I'm assuming so.
Then, so, you know, is Dr. Manhattan still around? I mean, Spectre, what is it, Jupiter Girl and Owlman, are they still around?
Well,
I mean,
probably, yeah. I'm wondering if they'll probably be around there, I think. But yeah, no, it definitely looked like a lot of fun.
It's different. I mean, how many episodes? Is it going to be like Game of Thrones style? 10?
You got to realize Game of Thrones originally started off, they never really had a real true consistency to their episodes because it's like this one, I think it's 8 episodes on the last season. The one before that was like 9 or 10. And then the one before that was like 12 and 13. Yeah. So yeah, they're very weird but I like that idea of, hey, listen, we have a story to tell in this season. We don't need more.
No.
Because it's just a waste of time, boring. Fans won't be as happy about it. So, I like that idea of we have a plan. Let's do the plan. Somebody we've talked about doing podcasting with, that was one of the things. There's always that question, how long should a podcast be? And the one guy that I've always kind of looked up about, he says a podcast should be as long as it has to be. You know, as long as it takes to get to the end.
Yeah.
And that's how I like that idea with the show.
However long to communicate your points and backwards and forwards. Yep.
And that was one of the things I loved about Battlestar Galactica Reimagined. They had a beginning and an end. They knew this is how long we're going, and that's it. And that's, I think, a lot of shows should do
that.
True,
but I often wonder how that show would have changed if the writer's strike never happened. Because they claimed that there's a lot more things they were going to do, and the writer's strike happened, and they kind of rushed, like, I guess it was like season 4 and 5.
Not because that's from my understanding. When the beginning, they knew that they were going this far. This is how it was going to end. This is what they were going to do. Because you get in, you get a story. Because once you get that first story out of the way, you sort of get into this dry period, you know, of waiting for the next one to come up, and that's where you could start losing a lot of fans. Something we talked about during Supernatural was what you say was season 5 was like they ended the.
Season 5 was the ending of the main arc.
Right, and they said that they figured they weren't going to get picked up.
They figured
and that
they
was
weren't
the going
to get picked up after that because Krippi originally wanted for 5 seasons. That's right. What he wrote it as. And then,
but that's what I like. I was saying, I think it's a great plan. Just five, we got 5 seasons. That's all we're doing. Just here's our story. Because again, I think Supernatural is one of those rare ones that they were able to pick up and capture that lightning again and again and again. Most times shows don't.
Yeah, they went 10 seasons after.
Yeah.
So like they just kept going.
We need another decade.
Why not?
So my next one, and actually it's a sad one, unfortunately. We have to say goodbye to the best co-pilot ever. Peter Mayhew passed away in his home in Boise, Texas, back April 30th. We haven't had a show since then. So, you know, it was one of those bittersweet, you know, hearing it, knowing he was able to participate and do everything he did. And I know he was such a big fan of the fans themselves, and he is a fanboy in his own right, just kind of how Mark Hamill is. You know, he was always there wanting to meet with the fans and stuff. So it was a tough pill to swallow, you know, especially after the loss of Carrie.
Did you see one of the cons that he was supposed to attend had, instead of like, you know, where the tables they set up where they signed the autographs, they basically had a memorial there.
Oh, really? No, I didn't see that.
If you get a chance, check it out. It's really cool looking. You see like where he was supposed to be sitting next to someone. I forgot who they were. It escapes me, but instead of that, they had a memorial, and they just had a bowl like, "Hey, if you want to contribute to his fund for like his funerals and stuff." That's kind of cool, very classy.
Yeah, that is nice, very cool. Yeah, yeah. So he will be missed. I know he did pass the torch down to Jonas. Thank you. I wanted to say Johnson, but yeah, it was kind of the Swedish thing. He passed the torch down, and I think he's got it. You know, somebody once said, you know, anybody could throw on a costume and be him. No, it's the walk, the mannerisms, the eyes. Whenever you saw a picture of just Peter without the costume on, those were Chewbacca's
eyes. Did you know, I forgot, because the episode is escaping me right now. It was an episode where he's in the Millennium Falcon and they're talking to him, and where he just leans back, kind of like where his arm stretched. Did you know that was all Peter Mayhew?
Oh yeah, I could definitely see it. Yeah, I think that was. That was number
Empire?
Four. No, that was New Hope when after the, don't take off a Wookiee playing chess. Let him win.
Yeah. He just leans
and after
back,
hand says
throws his hands backwards and he's like just chilling. Like
yeah, see
that was all Mayhew. I mean, people think like you just said, like oh, just throw on a costume. It's not a big deal. I go, no, it is a big deal because it's mannerisms. You got to get the walk down. I think he did the growl as well. Did he?
That one, no, I thought that was, mix of
was a mix of
I remember on, I think it was like one of the behind the scenes documentaries where they were talking about the sound effects of how they got the sound of the lightsaber, the sound of the phasers, and the sound of his growl was something, I thought it was something played backwards.
I have to look that up. I thought it was him maybe, then they just dubbed him over somehow. Mixed
no, up. I'm trying to, I wish I could remember what it was, but yeah, because I remember them talking about how they got the breathing thing for Darth Vader, how they put a microphone down inside a scuba apparatus, and that's how you get that actual breathing for
Can
Vader.
Can you believe that? And that sound effect still, to this day.
Oh yeah, it's one of the most classic sounds. Yeah, all you need to do is you can have a blank screen and hear that breath, and you know exactly what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you got next for us?
I got next here is It Chapter 2, the trailer finally released. Nice. I'm a big horror guy. Creepy. That's all I'm gonna say. I mean, after watching this trailer, creepy. Basically, picks up 10 years after I think it's 10 or 20 years after the events in Derry. The beginning of the trailer shows old Meg, I think her name is Meg, going to their old house, knocking a door. Some creepy old lady answers it, and then this creepy stuff starts to happen. I don't want to give it away. You got to watch a trailer, but
yeah, it's out there for you.
It looks a lot scarier than the first one. That's all I'm gonna say.
They got to
melting
gotta
faces.
It.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, they always got to you got to up your ante every time. I did not get a chance to see it though. Yeah,
check it out. It's really creepy. Really creepy to me. I mean, especially when you have something.
I will take your word if you say it's creepy. It's gotta be creepy.
It's creepy. I know all some I'm of the stuff you suggested to me. Melting faces. Melting faces. You know, when you have Pennywise melting your face off, that's okay.
Hey, and it's one of those classics that's okay to remake. You know, there's there are certain ones they do not need to touch, and other ones are okay. You can, because if you do remake it, you can improve it. You can improve on the story and grow the story.
Not even improving, just add your own spin to it. You know, that's the big difference. Like, I think if you ever watched the the prequel to The Thing, I don't know if you ever saw it. Not too many people have. But the problem with that movie, basically, was premised as a prequel, where the alien came from, blah, 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 in the Arctic. And they basically just didn't really add anything new to it. I mean, the special effects, I mean, to me, the more, the special, I mean, with something like that, you need what they were doing back in the older thing, I think in 81, where it was more of the animatronics and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like the thing with CG. It just looks...
No.
It doesn't. It looked more creepy when it was actually, mechanical.
Well, it's one of those things. They always, they always made that comment about Jaws. The fear and the scary part was the fact you never saw the shark.
Yeah, it's like the unknown. The biggest thing is the unknown. You just don't know what's.
And have you ever watched the original thing? The black and white one?
Yes, I have.
Okay, my grandfather. He was in the armed forces, it wasn't the army or the air force. It was pre air force. I'm trying to remember the title, what they used to be called, but he was actually stationed up in Alaska and they actually watched that movie during the snowstorm. And he,
sleepless nights there.
Yeah, oh no, he says they about shot somebody that came busting in through the barrack door when they were in there watching it, because it was snowing outside and just that scene, especially for them, in the black and white ones, because sometimes the black and white ones can be a heck of a lot creepier, and I've tried to get him to watch the John Carpenter one, and he's like, nope.
The John Carpenter one's a lot scarier than the black and white one. Because
that's why.
Like you just said, I mean, the unknown, because the thing is basically not it could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anybody, so.
But it's one of the things, I think it's also one of those things, is how and when you watch a movie. You can watch a movie in one way, and then your mood for that day can change how you come out of that movie. Like you were saying, with the second Crow movie, you know, a lot of people didn't like it. I loved it because of the environment I was in watching it. It was an event for me as well. So that added to the movie. I think with him on the thing being stuck up there in the
cold. I saw City of Angels. I think it was two nights ago when I got home.
Oh, really? Where'd you find that at?
I am not going to tell you, but actually after revisiting it and you talking about it so much, it's not as bad as I thought it was. It's actually a little bit better, and I actually kind of dig it. The only problem is it follows Brandon Lee, which is its ultimate curse.
You
cannot, you know, if the movie was made maybe like 5 years later, I think it would have done well.
Yeah.
But when you do it like 2 or 3 years after Brandon's
death.
Was it
that soon after? I thought it was.
Yeah, because it was, the original Crow was 94, wasn't it? And I think this one came out in 97.
I'm trying to remember. When I was still in high school, the original came out. So I graduated in 93. Because I remember going to the movie theaters watching that when I was in high school, and then I was in L.A., so...
I'm pretty sure it was a couple of years later.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to strike the iron ore as well as not.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go at least for around the four-year mark.
I'm going to guess it's 97. I mean, if you guys have any info on that, please let us know, but...
So, let's see here. What do we got? Next up on up here, speaking of like horror movies, I guess we can kind of stick in the same vein. Did you check out that new Brightburn clip? In the cafe?
Yes.
Oh, tell me that wasn't.
Oh, man.
That is just, I cannot wait. The Gunn brothers have, everything I see from this is just pure gold.
Evil kid Superman. That's what I'm calling it, man.
The scene is. I didn't know how graphic they were going to be and stuff, but
the glass.
Oh my god! Yeah, that killed me. I was like, okay, I'm still going to enjoy watching this. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to what they're going to be able to do.
It's going
to
be different. I mean, the guns have not let me down.
Not yet. So, no.
I mean, especially if you watch. You ever seen Slither?
Yes.
Slither's great. Oh, there's another good one.
Yep. So yeah, no, definitely a good one. I can't. Yeah, when I saw that clip, I was so stoked on that one.
Even the mask the kid wears is kind of creepy looking,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's exactly.
Like, it's almost like stitched together and with that homemade holes and.
Yep.
Kind of reminds me of what was that movie you keep telling me about? Trick or Treat.
Oh yeah, Trick or Treat. Yeah.
Trick or Treat. Yeah, it's almost kind of that kind of vibe, but you know, kid with superpowers.
Very cool. So what do you got next?
Well, guess what, Mike? We got the first teaser for Batwoman on CW. Oh,
yes.
Batwoman is coming.
Yes.
It's going to be a reality. The first LGBT character on network television that's a lead. And we've had characters who are LGBT, but there is actually a lead. And it was basically a teaser trailer that shows her in her cape flowing with the bat signal. Music was kind of cool, though. I did dig the music. I mean, I always like the CW type of music for the intros and stuff. But it is what it is. So what do you think? Did you see it?
No, honestly, that was one I did not get to see. Like I said, it's been a busy week.
It's quick.
Week.
It's not long. It's like maybe 20 seconds. It just says Batwoman.
Okay. I assume that's pretty much what it was. I think that's why my interest wasn't like, I was like, I know I'm going to watch it. I don't need to see a trailer to tease me to want it more. I already know I want it. I want to see this character.
Did you ever watch the old Birds of Prey TV show they had on the old WB network or CW?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember the character who was, I guess it was the kid of the original Black Canary? The blonde-haired girl? She had like,
yeah,
she
was trying to remember. Because I think, didn't a lot of them go off to do other things?
There's a reason why I'm saying this. Yes, they trust me. But okay. Do you remember the girl? She was like a blonde-haired girl. Kind of,
vaguely.
By the way, Lori Loughlin, freaking thief herself, was the original Black Canary in that show.
Oh,
just a little name drop. But she's going to be involved in this show in the Batwoman. She's the she's playing Red Alice.
Oh, really? Very cool. They're bringing in Alice.
Red Alice. Really? Yep, she's going to play the first villain for Batwoman. So apparently this series is going to take place before the Elseworlds crossover. So
that's good. That's good.
So looking forward to that. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, they have to introduce her a little bit before the Elseworld crossover, you know, starts.
Now, do you think she's going to be involved in Crisis at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think she's picking up the torch of Arrow, honestly.
Ooh.
Because I think the leadership torch will be picked up more by Barry, but I think she's going to be the next Dark One. We're actually getting a Batman character doing Batman things like Arrow was doing. Arrow was always doing the Batman storylines. We're now actually going to have a Batman character doing Batman storylines instead of, you know, the other way around.
All right. Now, I'm going to give you an over-under, okay? I'm going to say, for me, it's going to be 60%. Over-under, Alfred shows up in this Batwoman series.
I'd say over. I think he will. I think there's a good chance.
You think over 60?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Okay. I mean, because...
Does he have a big role, or does he have a minor role?
I think it's going to be very minor, because just of the look of the mansion and how Wayne Towers and everything looked during her introduction.
Okay.
It seemed like he wasn't there to take care of things, but I think maybe he'll come around to say, hey, I see what you're doing. You might need a little help. Or they bring in somebody else. Maybe bring in a Lucius. She's going to need somebody.
I think you hit it. I think Lucius will show up. I think Lucius will be like that main guy to her.
Yeah, she just needs somebody, I think, to kind of balance her out a little bit, to have that grounded effect. Just like, I mean, she needs her Felicity, basically. If we're going to talk in the Arrowverse, yeah. She needs that. She needs her Cisco, and Star, and in Star Lab. So they have that formula down to have that grounded person in there. Even with Supergirl, she has her John Jones, who's her link.
By the
there.
Way, he's awesome. As oh, yeah. John Jones. He's awesome.
He's done a great job.
I mean, I never thought anybody could replace Carl Lumbly, but hey, this guy has. It was David Harewood, I think his name is.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
He's fantastic. So if you get a chance, watch Supergirl just because of him.
Very good, very good. So we went over that, Yes. Sorry, I'm kind of jumping around because okay. I knew we were going to cross the streams again. So in Marvel has announced, I guess we kind of stick in the kind of the TV realm, but they have announced for a Ghost Rider, a Hailstorm, and also Blade series.
Damian Hailstorm, sir.
Yep.
By the way, that is one of the first comics that my older brother Alvin, big shout out to Big Brother Al, love you, man. He's living here in Orlando. That was one of the first comics he introduced me to, was Damian Hailstorm. And to see that this thing is actually going to happen on Hulu,
which I was surprised.
I'm
I was like,
shocked.
Because I thought, no, okay, Netflix was dropping it because they didn't own it. Then these were going to go to Disney streaming. But I guess Disney's like, man, we'll let Hulu do it. Cause,
dude, I tell you what, if they do it right, it could be a really good series.
Well, all three of them. I mean, Hailstorm.
Hailstorm,
Ghost Rider, and Blade. We've been dying for a Blade. And if they can bring, these are three dark characters that I could almost see them being crossovers.
You can, see that, right? Oh, yeah. That's, I think, then you're going to have Werewolf by Night. Mm-hmm. He's going to come in and all those other creepy characters in Marvel.
So I think there is hope still yet. You don't have to be a 100% Disney Plus subscriber to get everything from Marvel. I think they're doing smart. They should have kept it with Netflix because they had such a wealth of a major team over there, and a wealth of stories that have already been built and great characters. And bad decisions behind the scenes, I think. But if they're gonna do it again, I think these will be good because again, it's or Kane and I both are huge fans of the darker realms of both of these worlds.
Oh yeah, big time. And I can't wait to see what they're going to do with it.
I'm just my biggest one is I know they've already cast Ghost Rider. I think it was the same guy that was in Agents,
yeah.
Wasn't
it? Yeah. Same guy. He did a good job.
Yeah, he did. I liked the part of on S.H.I.E.L.D. But I'm really more interested in Blade. I know we had some we had some issues with the TV series.
You didn't like the sticky finger?
I liked it. I thought you didn't like it. I thought you and I talked about it. Oh, okay. Yeah. Then we were both on the
If I said I didn't like it, I made a mistake. It's a faux pas. That was probably one of the week I was having a bad headache or something. But no, I dug the sticky finger.
Okay, good.
One.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was good. So hopefully if they which route they take, if they go the route of it's been a while for the movie, so they can really reintroduce him with Whistler again and bring
here's another over under. Do you think Wesley shows up?
I don't know. That's a tough one because I know he wants to be part of it and he still thinks he can still do it.
A Whistler character now instead, and it's going to be his daughter being Blade.
No.
Because they have that.
They
the
could kind of do that and take care of their check. Their checklist, checklist of making sure that there's a strong female lead out there.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea.
Girl power's in, so why not?
I could see that, but as Wesley being there, I probably could see him doing it. He's one of those.
He's still in great shape. Have you seen him?
Yeah, but
still
he's not Blade shape.
He's not in Blade shape, but hey.
He's Whistler shape, not Blade shape.
Well, all he's got to do is throw a couple ninja stars here and there. That's it.
I could see that. I mean, that's a good good thought process on that. But yeah, I could. But yeah, definitely having him in there would be a good one to
well,
have.
Well, Damian Hailstorm is the one I want to see. I mean, everybody talks about Blade and all the other guys, but Damian Hailstorm, man. If you have not read Damian Hailstorm, please do yourself a favor. Look for the back issues. Look in a Comixology. I think he's on there. Check it out. It's a really fun story. Fun.
Very good. So what do you have next?
Well, sticking with the Marvel Universe, did you know that Chris Hemsworth, the Mighty Thor himself, has renewed his contract with Marvel for 5 more movies, including Thor 4 and Guardians of the Galaxy 3? So it looks like we're going to get the Asgardians of the galaxy.
Yep.
So, and it makes sense, too, because of the original, of the OG members of the Avengers. You know, spoilers, if you haven't watched Endgame, Black Widow's dead, Tony's dead, Cap is old. So now you got Thor basically a god, so you could have him out in space. And, you know, he's going to be like that common thread because he fits.
Yeah.
Because he's a god.
I had read something, and again, I take anything I read about a movie online with a grain of salt. And I had read that they are wanting to introduce Beta Ray Bill on Thor. They don't know if they want to do it with the introduction or the mixing of Guardians and Thor.
I think they should do Thor 4. No, not even. Don't do Thor 4. No.
Well, they're doing a Thor 4. Yeah, but they're doing Guardians. And so there's talk that I take the rumor mill very, very lightly. I almost get beat red, high blood pressure, angry when I read certain titles and things like that about like what they're doing. I'm like, don't tease people with this, because then you're just gonna let everybody down, and then when your movie does come out, people are gonna be mad because you hinted at something that was not even possible.
I hate that. Doesn't that bug you when
it does? That yeah,
angers the hell out of me. I mean, check your sources, people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Check your sources.
So we actually here at Heroes Asylum have now our first official sponsor. So we're going to go ahead and take it away to our very first commercial. So one moment, folks.
Hello there. My name is Dr. Thaddeus Sampson, MD. I am a psychiatrist, and I am here to help you through the post-MCU Endgames trauma that you have been experiencing. I understand this has been a decade-long exposure and love of such great characters, but unfortunately, we have come to the end of many of these great characters. So if you are mourning the loss,
spoiler alert,
of Tony Stark, Iron Man, Black Widow, even the evil Thanos, I am here to help you. You just need to reach out and give me a call at 800-555-6969, and I will be able to work you through these tough and trying times. So please give us a call. And don't forget, never listen to those Hero Asylum guys.
Oh, what the hell is this guy?
Who is that dude?
All right, I gotta like re-listen to these things before I put them up. This is, okay. Yeah. All right.
There's an issue right there. Jesus, man.
Well, speaking of Avengers and Endgame, did you see the Disney finally did release their movie schedules for the next, I think it was about 4 years now?
I think it's 4 years. They released
it. They really broke it down to where we are definitely, you know, this will be the last Star Wars movie, I think, until 2021.
Makes sense, because the streaming service is going to have a lot more options on there. So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you got Mandalorian coming out. And then, of course, there's the Avatar. Looks like what Disney's playing is like doing an Avatar one Christmas, then Star Wars the next, so kind of like having those as their Christmas holiday anchors, so to speak, which I'm okay
with. They're pretty much dominating when it comes to Christmas time anyway, so if they want to plant their flag on there, it's theirs.
Yeah, and then the Marvel one, I think they had a 6 or 7, I think, movies. They didn't put titles to them yet, but they had released them on, you know, there was a few, you know, doing.
Apparently, they're going to release the full schedule, I think they said the summer, which means Comic-Con.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm thinking it's Comic-Con or the Disney convention.
D23?
Yeah.
What is that? Is D23?
That's at the end of the summer. Yeah, it's like July, I think, or something like that. Mm. I'm trying to remember the date on those.
I'll have to look it up.
But yeah, no, I mean, I could see them doing that because that's, you know, that's Disney everything right there. They're going to drop. I just don't see them putting. I could see them putting titles to the next 2 years, but I don't think all of them, because you know how Hollywood is.
Did you read the what they're going to do with their movies now? They're not going to have like a giant overarching thing like the Infinity Saga. They're basically going to do like I'm going to paraphrase. It's like 3 to 5 film arcs.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
And they're going to close it, and they're going to go from there. Which is, I'm cool with it.
It's a smart move because to do a decade long story,
it's never going to be done again. Never.
They understand what they did. They understand the importance of what they did and how like, and I'm going to use the lightning in the bottle phrase, you know, that was a capture. You nobody can ever do that again. But the 3-year arc is good because it's, you don't have to hold on that long, and you know, you're going to get to the end quicker, which will be great. So
the payoff is going to be a lot faster. We don't have to wait like 11 years to see Thanos.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we'll be able to get into it. And with everything that they're introducing also is good because they can finish up the phase 4 like they want to, and then jump into phase 5 with introductions of, you know, the X-Men and Fantastic Four, and, you know, the Fox Marvel side. So,
yeah, maybe New Mutants will be released by then too.
Who knows? Like, it went from August this year to, I think they bumped it till next year. So
it's turning into the new Avatar.
It is. It's honestly. I heard somebody make a comment that like they might as well just release it on Disney Plus and just let it go. Just get your money off of that and call it a day.
I want to see it. I mean, it looks creepy as hell.
Because by the time they release it, the actors are going to look old.
Yeah,
you were in that movie. I don't remember you.
What was that?
Yeah. You know.
Jesus, you look a lot younger.
So
yeah, I have 3 kids already. Like, okay.
So what do you got next for us?
Let's see what I got here next. Hold on, I just skipped it. Suicide Squad 2 is going to start shooting pretty soon.
Yes.
And I can't wait. James Gunn,
yeah,
a guy we've talked about before. Michael Rooker has been cast as King Shark.
Nah.
Come on.
That is the perfect casting if I've ever
seen
one.
Are you kidding me? Rooker's King Shark.
He's going to be
Dude,
perfect.
Take my money right now. Just take it.
You got Mary Poppins as King Shark. I mean, come on, that is just,
man.
You can't go any better than that.
Come on. I mean, and I think he's introduced, what's the guy's name? Dave DeSmulchin. He's playing Polka Dot Man.
Yeah,
you're going to have Polka Dot Man in this movie.
Takes balls.
That takes lots of balls.
I want to know what they promised him. Hey, listen, dude. We got this character. You're going to come in. We're revitalizing the DC universe. We're going to bring you in for Suicide Squad 2. James Gunn's going to be involved. You got Eldra Elbis. We got Mike Rourke. And we're going to bring you in. Oh, man, I can't wait. Who am I going to play? Dude, you're the best guy you've ever seen. Awesome guy. Polka Dot Man.
What? Polka Dot Man.
Yeah, you back that money truck up real fast. I got to put that on my resume of things I've done.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what could have been like. I mean, maybe Mothman he could have played.
It's DC. You could
do
Batman,
the wacky.
Batman and Flash have a really large, you know, rogues gallery. You had to choose Polka Dot Man.
Out of all the people.
Yeah, couldn't have chucked, you know, King Tut maybe. I mean, come on.
Hey. I'll tell you what, and you know what's going to end up happening too? The Suicide Squad, like Polka Dot Man will be like the best character. He'll be like the creepiest.
Oh, yeah, no, something like that, something that silly.
It's going to come. He's going to make the movie. I just have that feeling because we're sitting here like, oh, it sounds so stupid. But I just got that feeling that, remember Dave DeSmulchin when he played Polka Dot Man? How creepy he was?
Well, dude, think back like with Drax, the Destroyer. He didn't look anything like what he does. He looks like a complete badass in the movies, but you look back at the comic books, especially
it's
during
the opposite. The comics, he was the badass. In the movies, he's more of like a funny dude.
Well, no, but I mean his look though, his look is, you know, much different. But they've done that to a lot of different characters. They've taken them, tweaked them a little bit, and the essence of the character is there, but they've added a flair, a feel to him, you know, an attitude that you know, it's been pretty good. Speaking of amazing characters and very odd characters, did you see Spider-Man's trailer?
Yeah, I did.
The post End Games trailer.
I liked how the introduction for the trailer has said, you know, spoilers.
Yep, that was perfect.
Is that like the first movie I think I've ever seen? Hey, man, spoilers if you haven't watched this other movie before you've seen this one.
And I think it's funny. It came from Tom Holland, who is known for spoiling everything.
Mr. Big Mouth himself.
So they're like, hey, listen, dude, you have to tell people not to. But I'm the one that does it. Yeah, we know. So that's why it's best that you say it.
Just sit down and be quiet for a second.
But, I mean, just amazing. I thought they opened up and it told a lot more of the story.
Do you think it's a misdirect, or do you think that really is where they're going?
They have to. That's the most logical thing, to have multiverses. And how else? This is the argument you and I were having weeks and weeks and weeks ago about how to introduce the X-Men and the Fantastic Four
But multiverse is the best way. All the things we argued, we never touched on the multiverse.
No, because Marvel's not known for multiverse.
They've never.
They're known. They've got them, but they're not known like DC's known for the multiverse.
Because DC plays with it a lot more.
Yeah,
Marvel doesn't. Marvel just like hints at it. They never like get in that sandbox
again. But that's the thing. You've got this toy box full of toys, and they're and Kevin Feige again. Like you said, Kevin Feige, we trust. But he saw that little toy over in the corner. I was like, oh, nobody plays with that one. Let me see what. Oh yeah,
I can. When he said Earth 616, I was like, oh my.
Yep.
God.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go. That gives me my argument for bringing in the X-Men is if you brought them in the way we were talking about, you lose their history, and their history is what makes the X-Men surviving the Holocaust, going through the 1960s, race wars and race, race riots. That's what the X-Men were really in the core were about. If you just drop them in saying everybody's now got genes, you lose those stories, and this answers that story that you can continue this on.
Yeah, you basically bring them from another Earth. That's it.
With that, there must be something that maybe that's one of the arcs they're going to be doing down the road, like you were saying about the different feel, of how...
I can feel Secret Wars, man.
That's Secret Wars.
Secret Wars, it just smells all over it, man.
I was talking to a new listener the other day about that, and that was the one thing he and I agreed on. He was like, man, he's like, yeah, when I saw that trailer, he's like, the only thing I could think of when we both said at the same time was like Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that's the only way they can go, and it brings in everybody.
Do you think they bring everybody back for Secret Wars?
No.
No? Just newer characters?
Not Resurrection. I know where you're heading on that one.
Well,
I don't think so. No, okay. I think that it'll be the newer characters because you don't need to bring back anybody because you're now.
No, you don't. I'm just saying for bigger movies like that, you could bring those guys back in for just a film. Like,
but
I'm bringing in Cap from the 40s.
Yeah, maybe you can do that with
that'd
a,
be a nice
with
surprise.
With the special digitaling of their faces, you kind of might be able to get away with that. But why bring in an old character when you're still in the middle of probably still introducing the X-Men in Fantastic Four.
I'm just saying, if you're going to do because Secret Wars was a big event like that.
It's kind of like in wrestling. Why you keep promoting Hulk Hogan when you got these, you got these great guys sitting in the wing ready to jump on, You just let the old dogs go and bring in the new ones.
What's your problem with getting rid of old people, man?
Hey, I'm right there with you, all right? I'm up there.
All right. Yeah, just saying.
I'm on the list.
You're on the fence like me. So just you relax with getting rid of old people.
I'm on that list of Soylent Green. So don't worry. All right. So you have any? You got anything else?
Hold on. Let me just pull it up right here. My phone just fell down. Sorry about that, folks. I don't mean to. Well, if anybody's reading Detective Comics issue 1002, they finally revealed the identity of the Arkham Knight. Now, if you play the video games like I have, the Arkham Knight in the video game was Jason Todd, which I thought was a stupid reveal. Like, I thought, what a waste of time. Just forget it. Just play the game. You'll see what I mean. But in the comics, they introduced this character, the Arkham Knight, and they decided to, do a new history of this character, a new identity, and she was revealed finally as Jenny Arkham. She is the daughter of Amadeus Arkham, the guy who basically started Arkham Asylum, which I thought was a kind of a neat little twist.
It is, yeah.
It's different. More girl power. Yeah, girl power. So I know you don't read the newer issues, Mike, too much, but I thought the reveal was kind of,
I'm actually halfway through this.
Really?
Yeah, no, I picked it up.
Did you like it?
So far, like I said, I'm only halfway. I haven't finished it all because, it is a mega episode or mega issue, so I haven't really gotten a chance to finish it up. I've been
doing stuff,
dabbling other. I'll jump in and just read that a little because I really, really, really wanted to read that one because I had heard since it dropped because I think we're at 1003 now. I think ever since that dropped, I've heard so many things about it. So I was like, okay, I need to pick that one up. And I also heard it's a good launching point to get back in. And I have been kind of out of the detective comic book world.
I haven't been back to detective in a while.
That's why I was like, 1000's a good place to, and like I said, everybody's said it's a good launching point to get back in, so I want to get back.
That's more depth to the character too, because like I said before, the video game to me was just like a total waste. You're gonna build this character up for the entire game, and he turned out to be somebody you already knew. I'm like, he's the Red Hood, and then he becomes Red Hood later. So wait, he's the Arkham Knight and the Red Hood? I'm like, no, I didn't dig that. But having Jenny Arkham, I think her name is, as a new reveal of the Arkham Knights, a nice little twist. I dig it.
Yeah, you don't want to go and continue on with a story that's already been told. It's good. It's a good switch.
Told 1,000 times over.
So now, what did I have? I just jumped over it, too.
What'd you jump over?
Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog. It's something I have to bring up. And the only reason I say this is because we are lovers of movies and comic books and video games at the same time. But there's been a backlash to it that I think is very dangerous that has happened. If any of you know about this, Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie is coming out with Jim Carrey.
That thing looks great as Dr. Robotnik,
Jim Carrey looks great at anything. He's got the rubber face. He can do it. You know, it's him overacting. And I'm completely fine with that because that's when I go to a Jim Carrey movie. That's what I want. I'm going to see that. On that only. Apparently there's a huge backlash about how Sonic looked. And I have to agree. I was like, what the fuck is that with the legs? And I guess with the backlash, the directors and the studio have basically pulled back and changed the look of Sonic. And this is my catch 22 in this. This is my conundrum is this could be a blessing and a curse that fans having that much control over a property like that, it takes away from the artist doing what they want. And now with Sonic, it was a look, it was something they can fix. It's not that great, but within this day and age, when people are finding out more and more about movies quicker and quicker, and if there's a backlash because of some story going on in the background, and fans, there's a backlash of that, and then the writer goes back and rewrites it. He's not sticking to his original vision, and I don't like that. I think that's I don't know how else to explain. I think it can be very poisoning to the creative process. What do you think?
It's dangerous,
yeah,
to do something like that. Like you just said, you know, to basically piggyback off that, you know, when the trailer was released, I the first thing I saw was his eyes are kind of small. Like, okay, they'll fix it in post. But then the outpouring was like, oh, the eyes are horrible. It's not Sonic. And then he comes out on Twitter the next day and says, we're going to fix it.
I thought more of the backlash was the legs.
No, it was the eyes.
Okay, so my problem was the freaking legs because they were gawky looking long.
I think fans today are a little too entitled. Like, you know, give the guy a break. First off, you've never seen a Sonic movie. You don't know what the post-production is going to be. He's still working on the movie.
Yeah.
And for the fans to have that much power is not good.
Certain things, if people knew how, I'm sure anybody out here listening to this has already seen Avengers by now. If you knew the ending and knew somebody was going to die and that outcry came that, no, you can't do that to him. That's an emotional reaction to a character because you don't want that character to go. But if the directors and the writers were like, oh my God, we can't take away that character because of how the backlash that we're getting from the fans, you're taking away that emotional roller coaster that you would have put them on if that character had died like they were supposed to.
Yeah.
And I think the creators out there need to write and put out, you know, and just let your product speak for itself. Just like we're doing here now. We're doing a live thing. Nobody's in there going, hey, you guys should talk about this or talk. No, we're putting our product out there and die by the sword, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword kind of thing.
Ride or die, man.
Yeah. I just think that can be very
Think of Bryan Singer, like in the early 2000s when he cast Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, kind of like as a comparison,
yes.
6'2" theater guy. Oh, he can't be Wolverine. Wolverine's supposed to be 5'5" and small and angry. And
yep.
And Hugh Jackman, 20 years later, one of the best Wolverines, or you know, the best Wolverine ever. So,
yeah, just imagine if somebody, if the internet was like it is now, and the vocal minority were heard. If he's like, well, maybe they're right. Maybe he should be shorter. And they went and found somebody else. What would we have had by now? Ugh.
You don't want to give the fans too much power, man. That's the big thing. I mean, if Kevin Feige allowed the fans to get too much power, we would have never had 22 films.
No.
He's like, I'm going to stick to my guns and go for it, and I don't care.
Yeah, you have a beginning and an end. Again, like we were talking about beginning of the show, you have a beginning and an end. You stick to your vision. Don't let anybody else say it because, again, most of the time they're vocal minorities that are the loudest.
There's a lot of idiots out there. That's just the basic premise. There's a lot of fools. If you look at the comments on like any page, any Stitcher page, any YouTube page, there's just a lot of hateful idiots out there. Just want to sit back and they're in their basement and click, click, angry, angry, click, click, angry. Hey, oh, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. Well, you know what? Why don't you get on your own podcast and do it?
Yep. There's a podcast I really enjoy, and he has a section called The Idiots of the Internet, and it's one of my favorite ones where he pulls up a YouTube channel or post, and he reads the reactions, and it's great because there are people out there. You're like, no, nobody could really think like that, and no, there are people.
Oh no,
and it's not that it's one; it's a lot of them. I'm like, really? Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was something I thought it would be an interesting talk. Yeah, because just that having that kind of that ability to change the course of things. What do you got? Anything else?
I got one last
one thing. Last thing. One okay. last. I think thing. I got two. So we
I got
go ahead.
One.
Maybe it's the same thing.
I don't. It maybe maybe not. Apparently, in Avengers Endgame, there was a cameo that we missed.
Yes, there was.
A cameo we missed.
Gone back to see this,
and I have looked at this movie now 3 times, and I've also seen it a 4th and 5th time. using some other means. But anyway, there's a cameo in this movie that I have been searching and searching and searching and searching. And finally, last night.
Did you find him?
I found it.
Wow. Okay, so he is there.
I had to sit there for almost 10 minutes hitting pause.
Because this is like 3 seconds or something like that?
It's so quick.
Okay.
But the cameo, he's there. Like everything that the internet sometimes says, you know, is not factual. This is factual. He's in the movie for a split second.
And who is this he? But that we're talking
the
about.
He I'm talking about, of course, is the immortal Howard the Duck.
Yes.
He is in Endgame. If you get a chance, you know, obviously you want to pay your money because we want this movie to beat Avatar. But it's there. It's in the battle scene. It's very quick.
Now, since I haven't been able to find him, was he the one from Guardians?
Yes.
So same design.
Yes,
okay,
same design.
They didn't change it up. Okay, cool.
It's not the short, fat Danny DeVito one.
I still like that one. That was a good one, though.
Leah Thompson was hot in that movie.
hey, keep it up. We're going to throw that one out on the Midnight Movie Review list and see if we get that.
I think we know what our next movie is going to be.
We already do. Yeah, so far it's looking that way. All right, so for me... Netflix, even though Netflix has recently lost Marvel, they have just now inked a deal with Dark Horse Comics. I am scratching my head because I don't know what they're going to do. I was perusing like the Dark Horse catalog, and I'm like, okay, there's Star Wars. Well, Star Wars has been moved over to the Marvel Comics line. There's Alien. The Alien series is on Dark Horse. I just drew a blank. There was like 3 more that were just like kind of general ones. And I was like, okay, are they going to break off of that? Because Dark Horse primarily through the years, in more recent years, has been really building off of other IP and doing comic books off of those IPs.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now and nothing really is jumping out.
Like I said, it's like movies that they did movies on and then they put them in comic books just to continue.
Well, there's a Dark Horse Frozen.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, I'm very interested. Would they go the realm and the route of doing an Alien theme? But Alien's on Fox now. So that would be, again, a lot of what Dark Horse has belongs
to
Disney.
What's the name of the agency that Hellboy belongs to?
The PB,
Paranormal Bureau of, whatever.
Normal Activity or something like that.
Yeah, they could do that.
They might be able to maybe branch off and do a Hellboy series. Okay, maybe that's the only one that really stood out to me.
Yeah, because I'm looking right now and none of these titles really jump out at me.
No, and like I said, if you really look at them, most of them are owned Fox or Disney. So they wouldn't... That just seems weird, but I thought that was kind of cool that...
Well, you could do the Immortal Black Hammer series.
True. Very true. So, yeah, that's one I'm looking for. Yeah, that's one I'm looking for. Last but not least, you said that was your last one you had there. I had just read today, Marvel, finally, I can't wait. I can't believe they're doing this. One of the movies that they released for, they're doing Nova. They said they're in the middle of developing Nova, which I cannot wait. Because that's a character... that you and I talked a few weeks ago about Nova, and I think he would be a great addition to the Spider-Man world. You know, if Sony does decide to still stick, you know, with Marvel, to have Nova along for the ride.
Interesting. I think you knew he was going to come for a while now. I mean, he was hinted. I mean, you saw the Nova Corps. I mean, it was coming. It was coming. We all knew it was coming.
I wasn't sure because Nova got destroyed by Thanos, and he wasn't one of the snappers, or they weren't part of the snap, so they're still gone. So I don't know. Maybe he's recovering. Maybe he was out patrolling and didn't make it back. But I thought Nova's position in all this would have just been picked up by Captain Marvel. Yeah. Because it's kind of the same thing.
Well, Captain Marvel is going to lead us into that cosmic, cosmic side of the Marvel.
And I think that's where we're going to see. I think that's where we're going to see Nova introduced. Is there?
I can't wait. It'll be interesting. I mean, he might get like a cameo maybe in Guardians before his own movie because Marvel likes to do that. They just throw little cameos here and there. Maybe you'll see his helmet at the end of Guardians 3. Going from there. It's like you said before, Kevin Feige has this toy box and he's like, okay, what haven't I used yet?
Yeah, and it's there.
There's Nova. There is the Marvel multiverse, and I'm going to start picking on those. So,
like I said, I mean, Nova could also be there for just in case Sony does decide to bring Spider-Man back, you know, because Spider-Man still being on loan, you know, to them.
I don't think they're going to bring Spidey back. I think they're building their own universe now.
That's what I'm saying. If they built their own universe, he would be the perfect lead in and out. And this also can explain the addition to, with them talking about doing the multiverse, the introduction of Venom.
Yeah.
So it's a very very precarious position that they're all in. I mean, at any moment Sony, which I hope they don't, could you know, get a bug up their butt and go, "No, we want him back now."
He's gone. Not. I hope not.
Oh yeah, me too. But
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just let it keep going, please.
All right. So that is everything for us on the admissions war. This was a long admissions war. We expected it today because, I mean, we had missed a lot. And so much news had been dropping, and it will continue to drop here. We do have a midnight movie review coming up shortly. The votes were in, and it looks as though the Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
You got the glow, Mike. That's right. You got the glow.
Yeah, that's right. We all have the glow. So we will be dropping that here shortly. So just another bonus episode. We're enjoying doing these midnight movie reviews, and I think you guys are enjoying them too. But our plan is to try to like get you guys involved and you know, picking those up and seeing, you know, which ones you guys want to hear us do.
Surprised that Flash Gordon didn't get any votes. Isn't that shocking?
Not really, no.
Well, that hurts. Like, I think Highlander got a vote.
You put Flash Gordon against Barry Gordy. Flash is going to lose. Sorry.
I guess.
Mm. Now, Nate, later on down the road, I mean, he's going to move his way up the list. You know, and then when it's Flash Gordon Howard the Duck, then maybe Flash will win.
Oh, Howard the Duck. Ooh, that's going to be a chore.
So, but yeah, we're definitely doing that. Make sure you guys do us a favor. When you guys do listen to this, do share it out to everybody that you can. You know, just reach it out. We want to try to reach out to everybody that's out there, get everybody a chance to see what we're doing. And you know, especially through the Facebook page and Twitter. So check those out.
Instagram and Twitter also at The Heroes Asylum. We also have communications up through there. But mostly, as Mike says, we have more communication through the Facebook page.
That is right.
And like I've said in the past, and I'll say it again, there's no webmaster. There's no guy hiding in Indonesia running our page. It's actually me and Mike. We will communicate with you as soon as you drop a question, answer and all that. Hit share, like, and all that. Please share. Please share The Heroes.
I may be in my boxer briefs when I do answer them. So just know that it's out there.
TMI, Mike, TMI.
So anybody here in the Orlando area, next week I will be visiting with a silent member, silent partner, so to speak,
of the asylum.
We will be at MegaCon. I'll be out there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, staying over there, maybe catching one of the after parties. So if anybody that's listening, you guys will hear this before that. If anybody's listening, you guys are going out there, let me know. Shoot a message on Facebook. Say, hey, we're out here. If you guys want to hook up, I know I'm already planning on meeting a couple of people out there, but more the merrier. I mean, it is MegaCon, Kane will be here guarding the fort.
That's right. Guarding the asylum.
Making sure the inmates are don't take their medicine like we're not supposed to.
Yep.
And but yeah, hopefully if we catch some good stuff, I'm gonna try to send him some stuff so maybe he can upload it through the weekend so you guys can kind of get a live feel as we go through. So that is the plan for next week.
Yep, I'll be at the Winchester next Saturday crying my eyes out, not attending the MegaCon. Sadly, but as you know, as Mike says, you know, he's going to be out there. So reach out to him, you know, communicate, hang out with him, buy him a shot if you want to. Maybe he'll bring along some of those Hero Asylum t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have those coming out soon. Yes.
Very, very soon.
I don't think they'd serve liquor at the MegaCon, except the after party. Yeah.
The after parties. Man.
Hopefully they'll have some blue milk.
Oh, yes. You know, drink a lot of blue milk there, Mike.
So, all right, folks. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. This has been a blast. This is actually just kind of behind the scenes. This is probably our second time doing an episode together. We're actually in the same building, same room.
Yes, we're in the basement, actually.
We're actually in the basement,
we're
yeah.
We're in the basement this week. Thanatos' basement, yes. Place there. Yeah.
So hopefully everything sounded great, and we will see you guys next week.
Get to the asylum.